this one. Okay, so I go here.
Thank you. address for you?
Can he still hear me? Yeah.
Trying to assess the city's compliance with those regulations. But then we'll have other matters where much more straightforward. And once these things are closed, we'll be
able
to send you a snapshot and we'll get to see a little bit more of the diversity. In terms of trends, I don't know that there are any that are kind of worth mentioning too much, except for what I'd flagged in the preview to the compliance annual report during the last meeting regarding time and leave issues. So there are a considerable number of those. The city is transitioning to a new system, and so we've been surrounding it and its implementation and
does anyone have any other discussions for our Inspector General? You know, actually, I'm sorry. I'm reading my notes that I wrote down for you, Shannon. So you said it was called pre-bid conference that you had and that there were people who are interested in possibly doing business with the City of Atlanta. Is there any particular departments or this is just a general pre-bid conference so people get just general information?
So for the city's formal procurements, and for that, it's a pretty low dollar threshold that will require then a kind of formal procurement as opposed to just the solicitation of bids here and there and having to kind of go through. But effectively, once you have contracts that are above $20,000, then it kind of gets to be a formal process. And one of the steps in that formal process is this pre-bid conference. So the conference that we had earlier this week was specific to the Office of the Inspector General's public awareness campaign. So we have the RFP that's outstanding for that public awareness campaign. So we were then the kind of client slash user department then fielding the questions. But as a general matter, and Ms. Singova and Mr. Santiago and others could speak to that, the Ethics Division has long participated as a kind of foundational part of those pre-bid conferences to reinforce the ethics obligations as part of the procurement process to the prospective vendors.
Okay. Thank you. That's the only question I think I had right now.
Board members, anybody else had questions for the Office of Inspector General? Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Manigault, for that. Next on the agenda is the Ethics Division, Ethics Officer Report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want Mr. Santiago is going to start with giving just a brief overview of the 2022 filing season, financial disclosure, and then I'll just give you some brief highlights from the report for the Ethics Division.
Sure, and thank you, Jabir. Good evening, board members, members of the public. Again, my name is Carlos Santiago, Deputy Ethics Officer. I wanted to provide an update to everybody on our 2022 city financial disclosure process. As you know, we've been in preparation for the 2022 filing season for a few months, and we have reached the kickoff. So the filings did begin on March 1st. All required filers were notified, and we have a filing deadline coming up of April 1st. So we're about halfway through that process. So I just want to provide a little bit of information as far as how we're doing this year. I think we're off to a very good start. We have a total of 3,426 required filers this year. And out of that, we have 2,984 employees and 442 board members. As of our last report last night, we have a total of 1,543 who have filed their statements. So we're a little bit above 45%. Our employee filer rate is 46%, and our board rate is 41%. So we are moving along. We're about 4 percentage points higher than we were at this point last year. So I think that really goes to the, again, more familiarity with the new system that we launched last year. And then a key cog of our program this year has been the addition of some extra help employees to assist us with the customer service related side of the filings. So, you know, anything from forgotten passwords to helping people walk through the forms and answering emails and such. That has been a really great help to the office. You know, as we have over 3,000 filers, we do receive a pretty high call volume during this time of the year. So we set up some dedicated lines, a dedicated phone line that is answered by the by our support staff. So I think there's been a combination of things that have made this season already start off very successfully. So, yeah, as I mentioned, we're about halfway through. Another key thing that happened as of this week is our public search function is now live. And this means now that all of our forms from 2019 through current are available. Our 2020 forms are available upon request. Those will be available online soon. 2021 and 2022 current year are up. Website. If you go to www.atlantaethics.org, you will be able to go to that public search link. It's in our quick links on the right side of the website or under financial disclosure. So if you go there, you can take a look and see everybody who's filed and the statements. So we're really excited to have that back online, fully operational. We're also planning on to help push some more people past the finish line over the next few weeks. We're going to do try to do some virtual sessions on Zoom to allow filers to log in, and we can walk them through the process, similar to what our customer service is doing, but just a dedicated a few hours for that to assist. We're also looking at potentially doing an in-person one as well. So we're going to try everything we can to push everybody through the finish line over the next few weeks. And one thing I did want to mention before I wrap is that this year we had some individuals who still owed fines from the 2021 filing season. The way that we have worked it this year is the system allows us to flag individuals who have yet to pay their fines or contact the office. So prior to being able to file the 2022 form, they are required to contact our office and make arrangements to satisfy the penalty in their case. So that has already been happening. That's been very successful, and we've been able to work through that, and people can move on to file 2022. But we want to make sure that everybody is in compliance with the code before doing so. So that's my report on where we are right now. I can take any questions that you have related to our filing season thus far.
Mr. Santiago, I did have one question. I'm glad you are going to possibly do one in person. I was at City Hall the other day, and I realized they are utilizing the atrium area. So I think that would be a great, you know, being able to get people also in person. So I do have a question, though. So you're flagging, if you go in for 2022, they're flagged that they owe and they can't continue unless they contact the office.
Correct.
But, are there any measures put in place if they are flagged and they still don't, they don't even do 2022 filing system? Do you guys, are you guys have something in place for that? So that means that they're late twice, like they're late for 2021 and...
Yes, I mean, if that is the case, then that will be considered in the enforcement, in this next round of enforcement. That would potentially lead to higher penalties. Again, we are allowed to assess up to $1,000 for violations of the code.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we will, of course, consider that as an aggravating factor if there's individuals who still do not pay the penalty, or again, they need to, if they access the system, they will be told they need to pay the fine. So they will by default not be able to file 2022 if they do that.
Right.
So if we have some individuals who are, they're not that many of them, but if in those specific cases, then we'd have to take some extra measures. And of course, we have the full disciplinary power within the board of the board's jurisdiction.
Right. And I know in the past too, we've also made notes in files and stuff. So, you know, just maybe looking at that moving forward, as if they do miss 2021 and then they see they have a fine and they said, well, you know, I'm not paying the fine, so they're not doing 2022, that maybe also add that as a step, that not just aggravating the fine, but also more into the personnel files.
Sure. Just so you know, that there are the individuals who were employees with the city currently and did not file at all last year, they did receive public reprimands that have been put into their personnel files along with the final decision in their case. So those have been provided to Human Resources from the 2021, and will continue to do so in the upcoming year.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other board members have any questions for Mr. Santiago?
I do. So did I understand the deadline is April 1st and there's a grace period of April 15th?
Yes, Board Member Hartman. Yes, it's so the deadline is April 1st, and then there's a two-week grace period that will end on April 15th. April 16th, the fines will start kicking in, and those start at $50 for late filing. That goes up every 2 weeks, and the standing non-filing penalty is $500.
And based on prior year's experience, how many people will be delinquent on April 1st?
On April 1st, so it varies. It's usually in the ballpark of around, like the last few years, it's been around 100 people, around 100 to 150 at the most. Then we'll go through that and make sure that there's no reasonable cause that we may have missed, bad addresses, anything else that could have affected the reason they didn't file before noticing them that they're actually delinquent. So yeah, so that number is usually, it's not a really high number percentage of everybody, but yeah, so if they did not provide any reasonable cause to our office and have not reached out to us in any form or fashion, then they would be considered delinquent at that point.
So my follow-up question is there any effort just made, and this 100 sounds like a reasonable number, where you could re-email them, email their supervisor, snail mail them, and or give them a phone call to try to get down to zero. Is there any efforts made in this two-week period to make sure that they're in fact aware of this, they have noticed?
Yes, I think I can say that we are constantly contacting them throughout that last 2 to 3 week period. They're going to receive numerous communications that are going to go not only to them, but to the liaisons that are appointed to each of their departments. We try to do everything we possibly can to get that number as low as possible. To the extent that people ignore us, I don't see how, because obviously we're emailing their City of Atlanta GA email addresses. We're trying to, especially, we have some folks that may have in progress reports. In those situations, we're contacting them as well to try to get them through the process in case it's just a situation where they forgot to submit the form. We will go through that list exhaustively to make sure that there's no circumstances that would lead them to not be delinquent, but we're also doing everything we can to get them to file. So we'll be contacting everybody quite a bit, including their department.
Yeah, can I speak to that, Mr. Hartman, as well?
Sure.
So every year we do go through that exercise. In fact, we plan to employ our extra help employees to call everyone that list that we have a phone number for. And to the extent that even when I do get involved and reach out to not only their superiors, but their department head, unfortunately, over the years, we still, have employees that would just be non-responsive. And you'll see some of those same people, unfortunately, appear before the board at some point once we've exhausted all those measures of phone calls, emails. And so to Mr. Santiago's point, we do this every year, but you always have, unfortunately, a small group of people that ignore notices.
It just seems to me if there's a delinquency, there's two people at fault. There's the employee who failed to file, and there's the supervisor who failed to supervise. That's just my observation, but it seems like the supervisor should definitely be put on notice as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's part of what we're doing is continue to try to strengthen that department liaison role and get them more. On board with that. We did a training, a series of trainings with all the liaisons to make sure that they knew exactly what's expected of everybody in their department. Teaching them some of the basic troubleshooting as well, and some questions that they could answer and help, relaying to them the importance of this process and the reason we do it, so that they're not just, if people are coming, what is this form? Why do I do it? I mean, sure, you can talk to us, but I think the liaisons also have a role in that. They're supervisors and relaying to the employees how important this process is, and that doing it in a timely fashion is in everybody's best interest.
Excellent. Thank you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Can you proceed with just the...
Sorry. I realize I was muted. Yes. Anyone else? Any more questions for Mr. Santiago? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on with the agenda.
So I will just highlight a few things from our status report. Yes, we are in the FY23 budget kickoff season. We have had budget discussions and meeting with the budget office. In terms of ethics, in terms of our, pressing budgetary needs, we are looking for funding for our existing vacant position. That position was defunded during COVID, and so we're hoping that position will be fully funded, and that's an ethics advisor position. We're also looking to add two new positions, and these are more generalist positions, a management analyst position for one and a business manager. And I've also requested additional funds for our operation needs in terms of training, audit and monitoring, and just some of our other program needs. As far as big news for ethics, we were able to successfully launch a new ethics e-learning course and that launched on February 1st, 2020 of this year. The course is currently hosted in Oracle, which is, so we partnered with the Department of Human Resources, and it's part of the Learning Management System platform. And I believe that the reason why this has been critical for training for ethics is that by HR partnering with us, we're hoping that we're achieving great results, as well as some measure of accountability and compliance for employees. So in past years, we've had to constantly reach out to department heads and get people to take the training. But now, not only do we have the mandate through legislation that was passed last year, but now, because the training is actually attached to each city employee's account, what happens that, so the training is due on May 1st. So if you don't take the training by May 1st, your supervisor is supposed to get notification, and there should be some consequences. So I'm hoping that that would be some measure of success for this round of ethics training. As far as our training numbers so far, we've approximately 3,300 employees have taken the training, which I think is really good considering past years we've never gotten that far. And I'm hoping by the time we get to May 1st, we'll see an even bigger jump in those numbers. As far as other training, we also conduct a training for the newly elected officials. So we were part of that training, as long as with the IG as well. We've done some training for executive and senior leaders, which I think is also important because we haven't done much of that in the past. And training for the Neighborhood Planning Association, we did some training for their board members. We also completed an advisory opinion on remote work for city employees. We've seen some issues in that area to remind employees of their obligations, responsibilities, and any risk of conflicts when they are engaged in any outside work while they're working remotely. We completed and distributed our 2021 annual ethics report, which I believe every board member should have received a copy of it. We continue to manage and maintain the integrity hotline, investigate matters where appropriate, and work with the Inspector General's Compliance Division on matters. As far as I'm not talking about the filing season, Carlos has talked about that. And we continue to work on completion of any active projects and identifying new projects under the direction of our program manager. In terms of our budget, we are spending as anticipated for fiscal year 22. It's pretty lean, which is why we're looking for some more funds for the new budget year. And that's pretty much all I have on the report. And I'll take any questions from the board if you have any.
Thank you, Ms. Angola. Any questions from the board? Oh, I think, Jerry, you're muted. There you go. You had it.
Okay,
there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
You had mentioned about having the training completed by, was it May 1st?
Yes.
You mentioned that if it is not, there are consequences. Who's responsible for the consequences and what are they?
So as far as I know, the consequences would have to be administered by the Department of Human Resources. I want to speak with caution, but I can imagine that could be some disciplinary action. And understanding that the Oracle system, the way it's set up now, not only are there consequences of not taking our training, there are other numerous city training that's now part of an employee's record, and so it shows up. So I'm going to say that there will be some disciplinary action, or if there is an ongoing refusal to take not only our training or any other city training.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any other questions from the board? Okay. Hearing none. Next on the agenda. Do we have any public comments?
Anything, Madam Chair. We do not have any public comments tonight.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Reeves.
Thank you.
No public comments. So our announcements, only announcements we have is that our next Governing Board of Office of Inspector General meeting will be held Thursday, May 19, 2022, 6 p.m. Currently, it will be a remote meeting. There are currently no appeals scheduled for our April meeting, so hence why we're meeting in May. That is the only announcement we have.
And Chair, can I just say one more thing? So far as we know, the next meeting may be remote, but just so the board is aware that there is a chance that the meetings will return in person. So just want everybody to be aware of that, to be on the lookout. But we will let the board know once we resume in-person meetings, and that would apply for all city boards.
Thank you so much, Ms. Sangova. Yes. Yes, I do know city council have moved more in-person for their committee meetings, so since we're 2 months out, I don't not see that happening to board members. But we'll keep everyone abreast of that move if we do become in-person. Any other announcements? Okay, hearing none. A motion on the floor to adjourn. I know you all like us, but...
Dick Hartman, I move that we adjourn the meeting.
Okay, can I get a second?
I second the motion.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded by Vic Hartman and Jerry Newmark. Any discussion about us adjourning? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Thank you, everyone. Have a great night. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Hopefully you get some sun. It's sunny today. Thank you, everyone, for all your hard work. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.